Cedric and Luna in the Different Sorting AU. Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opalsong. Part 17 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary. Please imagine, since the two of them are in the same year and now in the same house, Colin Creevy and Luna Lovegood being good friends. Author's notes. A continuation of A Different Sort of Sorting. Honestly, I'd put Luna into Gryffindor because she's undeniably incredibly brave and she's got a very clear code of chivalry. She totally belongs in Ravenclaw, but if I had to switch it up, I'd put Luna in Gryffindor for her courage and noble demeanor. Godric Gryffindor would undeniably be proud to have a knight as chivalrous and wise and just as Luna Lovegood. Colin Creevy, being a muggle-born and really, Colin Creevy, I think would still go into Gryffindor. Please imagine, since the two of them are in the same year and now in the same house, Colin Creevy and Luna Lovegood being good friends. Colin listening with fascination as Luna tells him all about thestrals and nargles. Colin being determined to capture a thestral on film. Colin wearing a bottle cap necklace and turnip earrings in support of his awesome best friend. In fact, imagine these dumb little Gryffindor babies deciding to become junior investigative reporters for the Quibbler. Luna Lovegood walking right up to adults and bluntly asking odd but leading questions. And Colin Creevy as her cameraman. These two nerds are the bane of the Hogwarts teachers, actually. There doesn't seem to be an ounce of common sense between them on their passionate search for the truth. What did they do this time? Sprout asks, not looking up from her book as Minerva McGonagall walks in and starts hitting her head against the wall of the staff room. Also, if you're giving them detention, not it, not doing that again. They bang, tried bang, to interview bang, an acromantula bang. Oh, Sprout says. Well, did they go for a small one at least? Yes. That's good. Neither of them are 4 feet tall. It was bigger than both of them combined. Minerva McGonagall rues the fucking day that Luna Lovegood and Colin Creevy were put into her house and became friends. She has dragged them away from the centaurs, out of the Great Lake wearing scuba gear to interview mermaids, had to physically pull Colin Creevy free of the giant squid's playful grasp. They're banned from the kitchens and Moaning Myrtle's bathroom and from going within 5 feet of a fireplace because they don't know how Luna and Colin managed to get to the ministry and into the minister's office, but she's not taking any bloody chances. Her brother Malcolm says she was just as bad, but Minerva McGonagall refuses to believe that she was anything like these Gryffindors. I expect you to keep the younger students well in line, Mr. Malfoy, Minerva says to her newest Gryffindor prefect, the only one she actually trusts to be capable of reining these two monsters in without mercy. Draco looks up from the list of reasons that Luna Lovegood and Colin Creevy have gotten detention. They got into the Chamber of Secrets how exactly? Mr. Creevy was doing a photography show of Hogwarts landmarks, I believe. The photographs can be seen in last June's issue of The Quibbler, with some rather lovely poetry from Miss Lovegood. That doesn't answer my question, Draco says, thoroughly bewildered. How am I? What do you expect? If you can mostly manage to keep your boyfriend from throwing himself headfirst into trouble every year, Mr. Malfoy, you can manage this, Minerva McGonagall says flatly. She is done. She is tired. She is passing the burden on to someone else because she needs a goddamn break. I expect to see the results of your hard work within the month, Mr. Malfoy. Draco goes pale. Well, paler than he already is. Harry, you moron! This is all your fault! You've been shoving that prefect badge in my face for the past 2 weeks, Draco. I couldn't care less if I tried, Harry says, unconcerned as he focuses on their latest Quidditch play. What do you think about... Absolutely not! That will never work! Also... On the other side of the room, Neville Longbottom doesn't even look up from his book as he reaches for his earplugs. Zacharias Smith is already wearing his and doesn't even notice as he keeps doing his homework. Xenophilus Lovegood meets Colin Creevy like the son he never had. This, of course, also means that Dennis Creevy is also his unexpected son from an outside source. Dennis Creevy, confused but excited Ravenclaw, doesn't know what's going on, but he's up for whatever. Are you sure you don't want to marry one of the boys? They're excellent young wizards, Zeno says to his daughter. If you can't pick one, I absolutely approve of picking both. Daddy, Luna says tiredly, her neck covered in hickeys, standing hand in hand with her Slytherin girlfriend. I already told you that we're just friends. I'm dating Ginny, remember? Ginny asked her out after a Quidditch match, where Luna took over for Lee Jordan on a dare from Colin. It was very memorable and hilarious commentary. Their first date was breaking into the Shrieking Shack together, where they proceeded to make out like there was no goddamn tomorrow. This set a precedent for their future dates. Draco Malfoy deeply respects Ginny Weasley, who is the only person apparently able to drag Luna Lovegood and Colin Creevy out of trouble. Ginny is the Superman to their Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen. Oh, all right, Zeno says absentmindedly, then adds, well, always remember that there's always room for one or two more in a coven. Sorry about my dad, Luna says later. Eh, don't worry about it. It's not bad advice. I always thought that Demelza Robbins was pretty cute. Now that we're considering to... Ow! Okay, you're cute when you're jealous. You know, I'm shutting up to kiss my one and only beautiful lioness girlfriend right now before she hexes me. Also, during any sort of publicized Hogwarts event, Miss Skeeter, a moment of your time! Rita Skeeter turns and is immediately blinded by the flash of a camera. When she manages to clear her eyes, her space has been invaded by two short blonde creatures that are peering up at her with disturbingly large eyes. Miss Skeeter, how do you justify continuously crossing moral boundaries and destroying people's privacy to benefit your career? Says the girl child looking one, with a frighteningly pink quill and glittery notebook at the ready. Rita Skeeter opens her mouth to reply to that absurd question, but she is interrupted by another flash of camera from the boy child looking one. When she can see again, the girl child is already nodding thoughtfully and scribbling away with her odd and garish pen. Does it ever trouble your sleep to know that you may single-handedly or at least have a significant amount of responsibility in turning our media towards the pursuit of exaggerated or fabricated shallow scandals instead of the discovery of truth and informing the public of real and important matters? How the fuck can anyone talk that fast? What flash? Do you ever feel conflicted about the ministry's ownership and oppression of the press in the magical world? What's your experience working as a government spin tool? Flash. What's your opinion on Sirius Black's statement that you're a parasite and a plague on society for utilizing minors for your own best interest, and his insinuation that he'd gladly go back to Azkaban for your murder? Flash, flash. Is it painful, Miss Skeeter, to have no journalistic integrity on top of no skill? Unfortunately, what Rita Skeeter does not know in that instant is that there is no way to get rid of an inquisitive Luna Lovegood and Colin Creevy. Resistance is useless, and her only course of action is to leave with dignity. Because having two 13-year-olds chase you off by roasting you is rather embarrassing. All future incidents have a similar tone. Rita Skeeter is chased off so many times that she starts steering clear. Maybe now she'll start leaving Harry alone, Cullen says. I hope so, Luna says. Then Malfoy will have to follow through on his promise to accidentally invite us to his family's annual gala. I heard the Bulgarian minister will be there. Isn't he the one who is secretly a vampire? That's the one. Cool. Cedric Diggory? I have no idea where Cedric would go. Because he really is the perfect Hufflepuff. He's also chivalrous enough to go into Gryffindor. But it's actually really funny to me to imagine Cedric going into the changed Slytherin of this AU. Triwizard Champion is pretty ambitious, and I bet badgers can be pretty darn cunning when they want to be. Basically, like, if Slytherin's past image wasn't already dying, then Cedric Diggory would kill it in a single blow. Because he's just... he's so nice. He's so kind. He's kind of shy and really cute and totally modest and just... No one knows how to come with this. He can't stand injustice, doesn't care at all about blood, and he's all about doing hard, earnest work to achieve your ambitions. Like, regular Slytherins are like, I have a cunning plan to achieve my ambitions cleanly, taking this shortcut. And Cedric Diggory is like, I'm going to achieve my ambition by straightforward hard work. No shortcuts. Watch me go. No trickery here. He's so honest. Like, he's got absolutely nothing to hide. It's weird. Honestly, when you put ambition and hard work together, it's so intimidating. Cedric Diggory scares regular Slytherins. Nobody's that nice and hardworking and genuine. It doesn't make sense. He's like Percy Weasley or Oliver Wood, only charming and personable and nice and relatable and, oh my god, he's going to take over the world someday. Regular Slytherins are freaking the fuck out because, like, cannot find a flaw? Cannot find a weakness? Is he real? Am I real? What's going on? What is the world? What have we become? Cedric Diggory gives Slytherin an identity crisis. That's my idea. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!